I need you more. Take a breath for a second. Just to, focus, meditate, contemplate, whatever. You know, there are not very many times that I have or will come to you and say, hey, I could really use your prayers. This has been a week. I mean, people I love all over the place attacked from the right, from the left. Terry Hensley in the hospital with a stroke. She's 48, okay? I'm 47. That's too young to be having strokes. Okay? I'm just telling. I told her in person, you're too young for this. No. Nylon and Hannah had their really good friend's 7-year-old son pass away. Seven. Bob Ertz's grandson. 3 months old, passed away. Bill and Ruby, Rodney, going to rehab. I mean, my phone was way too busy this week. And it's not that I don't love getting the phone calls and the opportunity to pray, but at the same time, I just felt like this week, I don't feel like there was a day that I wasn't getting something. You know, and I just think to myself, you know, as his church, we need to be busy. I mean, we need to be praying for people. Like we did it last Sunday, and I'm grateful for it. And there's a part of me that, like, I want to do that every week. But that we can't do that. I mean, we could do that every week. But, you know, there's more to church than just that. So, but at the same time, We have got to be active in prayer. We have to be. It is too critical, too crucial to those around us that we not do it. I mean, we couldn't. We can't not be a house of prayer. We can't not be. There are too many lives, too many futures at stake for us to not be a house of prayer. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Tammy broke a tooth. I mean, just come on, man. It's everywhere. But in the midst of all that, Samara had a birthday. Happy birthday, Samara. See, I don't want to focus on the negative too much. Right? Man, you're getting old. Yeah? You're old? Girl, you don't even know. You don't even know. And some of y'all look at me and go, you don't even know. That's all right. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Luke chapter 22 this morning is where we will begin. Luke chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are my refuge, my strong tower, my deliverer, my healer, the one who anoints, the one who blesses, the one who calls. You are all things to all people, God. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. Though your presence feels different than many days, I still know and believe you're here. Father, I believe you are anointing right now our spiritual receptors, the parts of us that are put there to receive your word, God, your anointing, whether it's through our eyes or through our ears or Lord, through our mouths, God. We are receiving your word, Lord. Anoint us to receive it. That your word would be a seed planted in us, good soil, to produce a harvest in due time, in due season. A bountiful harvest, Lord. Lord, if I could have your anointing to deliver this message, Lord, to speak your word, to bless your people, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So for at least the next couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Some of you will otherwise call it Easter. And just for anybody who came in late or was unaware, we have our potluck lunch the Saturday before Easter, which is the 16th. Is that right? Yes? So you could bring a side or a dessert that day. And we will have the egg hunt, and everybody's invited. And everybody's invited to invite everybody. So that everybody is actually invited. Everybody got it? Got it. So, verses 7 and 8, Jesus gives this instruction. He puts Peter and John on a mission. Go get the meal ready. How many of you have noticed that the Lord is not always specific when he gives you something to do? Go get the meal ready. Okay. So many questions. Lord, can I ask a few questions? You know? I can't tell you the number of times. I'm starting to say how many. I got to stop saying that so much. I can't think of the number of times that he's given me something to do, but not given me all the details of how or what I was supposed to do. Just go do this. Okay? I'm glad to do it, but could I have a little more detail? You know, a little extra. Could you tell me? I mean, first question I have is where? Right? Where are we going to have the meal? How many people are going to be there? Right? What are we going to eat? Well, this one's pretty easy. It's Passover, so they're going to have lamb, you know? So many questions. And all he says is, you're going to go get the meal ready. And yet, here they are. I just use what Brother Salkiel would always call his sanctified imagination. So I read these stories and I use that sanctified imagination, and I just see Peter and John just looking at each other going, you're going to ask or do I have to ask? Because we need more information. And one of them's going, I'm not asking. I'm not doing it. but yet they need more information. In fact, you go to verse 9 and you see that they're asking. Where do you want us to prepare, they ask him. That's a pretty important question. You know, that's not like if I said, hey, we're going to have a potluck on the Saturday before Easter. Okay, Pastor, where are we going to have it? Oh, I don't know. Just show up. I need an address. You know, I don't know if we have this problem here at the church sometimes, because when we've been working over at the station, maybe we'll order pizza for everybody that's there. And if you Google Hosanna, it's probably going to take you to the station instead of the church. Almost every time. Almost every time it's going to take you right there. But then when we try to order it to the station, it takes them here. So we have to watch for the pizza guy, and they'll pull up into the church parking lot, and we have to go outside and stand out there on the sidewalk, you know, waving at them every time, looking like a fool. But I want my pizza, so that's what I do, right? Location's important. In fact, in real estate, location, 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 right? Location is important. And I love, I stumbled onto this week, and this little detail in the scripture that I missed for I don't know how many years, but I missed it. But it's there. It's there. He says, go fix a meal. They say, okay, cool. Where you want us to do it? And so then he says, well, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't really know why he didn't tell them in his original instructions, hey, go prepare the meal here. Go do this. I just know that he didn't. And I wonder if verse 15 doesn't give us an idea of why he didn't. Because it says, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. You ever notice sometimes that when you're really eager, excited about something, that maybe you leave some of the details out? When I was a teenager, was driving with my uncle, and we broke down in Oklahoma City. And his daughter lived over by Bethany. And so we broke down on the interstate, and I walked up the ramp, the on-ramp, or the off-ramp, and there was an Arby's there. And so I borrowed the phone. It was a landline. We didn't have cell phones because I'm old, right? I'm old. So I go up, and I borrow the phone, and I call my cousin. And I actually talked to her husband at the time. And I said, hey, Ray, the truck broke down. Could you come help us? Could you come get us? Okay? Now, I'm from, at that point, I lived in Perkins as a kid. I didn't grow up in big town, big city. Okay? So Ray says, okay, where are you? I said, Arby's. He said, okay, which one? Oh, there's more than one. So I have to ask the people at the restaurant, hey, what's the address here? And the teenagers working at the restaurant didn't have a clue what the address was there. And like Alex and Samara and Sarah are all going, why'd you just Google it? Mm-mm. Nope. No. We didn't have that back then. Didn't even, Google had not been invented. Okay? Praise God. Oh, for the good old days. So they had to ask the manager what the address was. So then they asked the manager. Manager comes out, tells me the address. I tell Ray. And eventually he shows up to pick us up. Location was important. Details were important. I was just excited. I was just ignorant about how the world worked and that there could be more than one Arby's in a town, especially a big town. So I just said, we were at Arby's. And I drive by Arby's on the interstate pretty regularly. And I think, yep, there's my Arby's. That's the one right there. The only one in town right there. But sometimes we get excited and we forget details. We forget that maybe there's more information needed than what we've given. But then after being asked the question, okay, Lord, great, we'll go prepare the meal, but where? When after he gets asked that question in verses 10 through 12, he answers them. He gives them exactly the details that they need, okay? Are you ready? I love this. As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him at the house he enters. Say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. Okay? Now, if you'll go back to verse 10. Okay. How many of you would be comfortable with these instructions? Okay, you're going to find... Woo! Well, that was fun. I know, right? Cat-like reflexes. So you're going to go into town and you're going to see a guy carrying a pitcher of water. What's his name? How tall is he? What color's his hair? What's he look like? Is he Caucasian? Is he Hispanic? Is he African American? Like, I have so many questions just right here. Right. How old of a guy is he? Good question. But he just says you're going to go and you're going to find a guy carrying a pitcher of water. And that's the guy. And not only that, it gets better because he says, that's the guy. Well, that's not actually the guy. You just want to follow that guy. So now I'm starting to feel bad for the guy carrying the pitcher of water. Right? Because now suddenly he's got Peter and John following him like some weirdos. Right? So you just imagine you're carrying your pitcher of water, just doing your thing, carrying your pitcher of water, and suddenly two guys are following you. I'm walking faster now. Right? I'm maybe crossing the other side of the street. I'm taking right turns and left turns, trying to see, are they following me? What are these weirdos doing? Do they have a knife? Like, this, everything starts to escalate when you start to really put yourself into this story. You start to see that there's really, Peter and John are actually having to take some pretty large steps of faith in just doing this thing that Jesus asked them to do, which is a simple matter. But there are huge steps of faith they're having to take. When he calls us to do something, it's going to require steps of faith to do it. Every time. When he calls us to do something, it's going to require us to walk by faith. To say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to end up. I'm afraid this guy's going to throw his pitcher of water down and turn around and want to fight or something. I don't know. There are just so many different possibilities of what could happen when they start following this random guy who's carrying a pitcher of water, just doing his job. Verse 11, please. So once you follow him and he goes into the house, then you say to the owner, I love this, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? This is almost identical to when he told the two disciples, go into Jerusalem, you're going to see a donkey tied up, grab that donkey and take him, and if anybody says something, you just tell them, the Lord needs the donkey. Right? This is the same kind of thing. Go to Jerusalem and steal a donkey. I just love it. I just love it. He's not actually telling them to steal a donkey. Please don't think me, you know. But I look at these guys and I know, and I've said this a million times, I know. We take for granted that the disciples had the faith to do what Jesus told them to do. We just think, well, it was Jesus telling them to do that. How many times has God told you to do something and you second-guessed him, third-guessed him, fourth-guessed him, fifth-guessed him? You're still asking the questions right now because you're not for sure that it was him asking you to do it. You're still, Lord, was that really you that said that to me? We just take for granted that they would just, well, yeah, they just walked, acted in faith. Well, Peter just got out of the boat, right? No, Peter said, I'd like to get out of the boat, but I need you to call me out of the boat before I have the courage to step out of the boat. Which is kind of a smart way to phrase it, because I need to know that you're calling me there before I take the step. Right? I need to know that that's where you want me to go, what you want me to do before I take the step. But even after he took the step, even after he was called and he took that step, he still started to sink. These had to act in faith and walk in faith every single day. And I'm telling you, some of us think, Lord, I wish I didn't. I just wish I knew better details about what you're calling me and asking me to do. And I promise you, you're not going to get those details. You're going to have to act in faith. You're going to have to step in faith. We always have to step in faith. Faith is a major factor in our relationship and our calling and what he's asking us and calling us to do. He's going to call you to do it, give you minor details, just a few details, and then expect you to start stepping in faith. And we have to take those steps, because we grow stronger with every step. Our faith grows with every step we take. Every step we take, our faith grows stronger. Their faith grew when they went and did what Jesus called them to do when they got the donkey. Well, okay, all right. Went and got the donkey, everything worked out great. We didn't end up in jail. We didn't have to call anybody for bail money. It went great. So now Jesus says, go to this house, or go follow this man to this house. Tell the owner where's the room, right? Here's the location part. Verse 12, location, location, location. He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare your meal. Where was that room? Upstairs. What town was that house in? Jerusalem. There's another event that's going to take place in this same room in a few weeks after this moment. This is called the upper room. Something about the fact that the Passover meal, Jesus' Last Supper, took place in the same location as the visitation of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Same room, same location. Location, location, location. Was there something special about the room? I don't know. There's nothing that I've read in the Bible that says, you know, if you go to that room, crazy things are going to happen. It just said, this is where it was to be, and then later, this is where it was going to be again. Something about that location. And maybe it was because Jesus ate with them and they were comfortable with the room. They had their visitation with Jesus there. That was where the disciple leaned up against Jesus, where they shared this meal, where they broke bread, they shared the cup of the vine, the fruit of the vine, where they had their Holy Communion moment with Jesus. All of those things happened in that upper room. See, the upper room was not just used once. It was used twice. Just because he used it once doesn't mean he won't use it again. Just because he used you once doesn't mean he won't use you again. He wants to use you over and over and over again to reach out to this community, to your family, to your friends, to those around you. Location matters because you're closer to some of the people around you than anybody else. You have the best opportunity, the best availability to show them and share them Jesus. Location, location, location. Jesus got them familiar with this location so that when the time would come, he said, stay in Jerusalem. Right? He said, stay here. And this is going to happen. Yet he didn't tell them what was going to happen. Just this is going to happen. Right? See? Location, location, location. I feel bad for the disciples sometimes because they had to learn to interpret and they had to take these huge steps of faith that we probably oftentimes underestimate the step of faith that it was for them. I think when we read the scriptures, we do this constantly. Let me rephrase that. I do this constantly. I underestimate the faith that it took for the men and the women in the Bible to do what they actually did because I already know how it ends up. And so I make the assumption that they knew how it would end, but it was actually them just doing what God asked them to do, hoping and praying that it would end up in a good way, believing that no matter what, that God could turn all things for the good of those. We sang that just a little while ago. Believing that even if they missed it, even if they messed up, that there was grace and there was mercy. I want you to remember that even when you mess up, there is grace and there is mercy. Even if you thought he called you to do something and it ended up not being the thing that he called you to do. Even Abraham thought he was called to sacrifice Isaac. Well, he was, but he wasn't, right? Because sometimes God wants to see how seriously you'll take him. And just in case you think, well, that's the only time that upper room thing was shown in the scripture, the Passover meal, the Lord's, the Last Supper is in every gospel. The upper room is mentioned in two of them. In Mark 14:15, it says he will show you he will take you upstairs to a large room that is ready, that is already set up, that is where you should prepare our meal. What's also amazing is that God had already spoken to the man in the house because the room was already set up. We're not the only ones that God will speak to. He'll speak to others as well. So they eat the Last Supper in the same room where they would later experience the Holy Spirit. And they have the moment with Jesus where it's intimate. Where it's just them and him. Where there's conversation happening and they're talking about, I use my sanctified imagination and I imagine them talking about the stories. You know, I would be talking about some of my favorite stories of my time with Jesus. You know, some of my favorite ones. And I always love the weird ones. Always. Spitting and making mud and putting it on the guy's eyes. I would have to talk about that. Do you remember that time Jesus did this? And I would have to talk about the time that Jesus ran the people out of the temple. That'd be fun to recount. Did you see those guys run? Oh, it was so fun. Do you see how it cleared out the temple? The times where they had other meals with other people and the conversations that happened in those meals. And how they would, I just imagine they would talk about the meals that they had with the tax collectors and sinners and how fun those conversations were and how Jesus changed the environment of that situation. And then how the Pharisees and the Sadducees just seemed to always show up and say, why are you doing this? And Jesus had to correct them. I just imagine these conversations going on and on and on. But this meal was a little different because he didn't invite the tax collectors and sinners to this meal. This meal was for him and his beloved, those that he loved. In fact, John was called the disciple that he loved. This meal was just for those that he was closest to. And I've on my mind, in my heart, for many years now, I have been mindful of the table, the Last Supper that was shared with Jesus, and the meals that he ate with tax collectors and sinners. And I can remember, being with someone and sitting in a car and, we were sitting by the courthouse, sitting in front of the courthouse, okay? And you have all these people, because they have, some of you don't know it, they have different days. Like they deal with different types of crimes on different days, right? Got like, they've got names for them. I don't know what they all are, but, right? Like Monday is something Monday and Tuesday's something Tuesday, right? Because they deal with all of these things. And so we're sitting out there and there's people walking around outside waiting for the doors to open. And not all of them are in suits and ties. Some of them are fairly disheveled and some of them may not. You can tell these are not what you would call upper crust of society. And somebody, the person I was with, made a comment about having to deal with those people on a certain day. And I said, you know, I said, the thing I think of when I look at those people was that Jesus would have invited them to the table. And I didn't deserve to be at the table. Like, I didn't earn a place at the table. But the table's open to me. And as Easter comes, as Resurrection Sunday comes, and we're planning our meal that we're going to share together, I don't care who you invite. I don't care. I don't care their background. I don't care their nationality, their color, their creed, their religion. I don't care their religion. I don't care what they smell like. I just want them at the table. And that is our command. To make sure everyone knows they're invited to the table. And location matters. Because if they're at the table, they're closer to Jesus. Whether they know him or not. Even the tax collectors and sinners were close to Jesus when they were at the table. See, location matters. Location, location, location. I am as aware as I have ever been, in part because of the last week, and in part just because of who God has called me to be, that I am more and more aware of the people who don't feel invited to the table, who don't feel welcome, who don't feel like they belong, who don't feel like it's a place for them. I'll be totally honest with you. For the first time in a while, I spoke to somebody yesterday and made sure they knew they were invited to church. I don't even know them. I couldn't even tell you. If they walked in the doors, I couldn't tell you if that was them or not. I don't have a clue what they look like. I was on the phone with them. They said, well, what time does service start? I get that question regularly. What time does service start? Got that question several times yesterday. I think Tammy got it once or twice, right? I'll answer that question. Eventually, they'll show up, maybe. I don't care if they're here. I just want them in church somewhere, finding Jesus at the table. One of the more famous, more well-known scriptures in the Bible, if you've ever read the greatest book, Revelations, whew, bless Jesus. If I could only understand more of Revelations. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I like that. I like that translation. The Bible says that he's a friend closer than a brother. See, that invitation's always there. And that invitation is to everyone. Everyone. And that invitation was open to me. And it's always open to me. And it's always open to you. Because location matters. Because he wanted me close to him. I don't know why, but he did. Because he wanted you close to him. Some of you, I really don't know why. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why he loves us like he does. I don't know why. But he does. And I think of, in this moment, I think of Hannah and Nylon, who have this couple that they're close to dealing with the loss. And I know it's hard to understand and I can't explain it. I would never try to explain it because it just doesn't make any sense. But our loss does not mean God's not good. And no matter what they've been through or what they're going through or what they've done, they still should be invited to the table. In fact, they probably need someone to share a meal with. You know what happens at a meal? We laugh, we talk, we eat, of course. We get to know each other better. We get closer. We share common experiences and common bonds. We share so many things. That's why Jesus ate with them, because he wanted them to know that he was personal. That he was someone that wanted to know them and that they wanted to know. He was someone who cared about them so much that he did everything for them. Everything he did was for them. And so their location matters. He wanted them at the table with him. I want to close first. As I'm closing, I want to make sure everyone everyone. Sister Tammy, if you'll find some music. I think the invitation to the meal is simple. The invitation to be at the table is easy. You're invited. All you have to do is accept the invitation. See? It's like an RSVP. So if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, that invitation was made, that invitation has remained to be at the table. And I know sometimes life has made that invitation hard to understand or accept. I know that sometimes things have happened that have made us question or wonder whether we even wanted to accept the invitation or whether it was even real. But as someone who's accepted it and found it to be the most amazing thing, it's real. So if there's anyone that wants to accept the invitation to be at the table with Jesus, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the invitation. You've never said Jesus is Lord, if you've never accepted him as Savior, or if you have, but you walked away. I've been that guy before. The invitation's still there. Anyone at all, any hands in the air, accepting the invitation this morning. Location, location, location. So, Father, my prayer is that we will invite people to the location, God, to the table, to come and eat, to come and dine, to come and be with us, Lord, that we could introduce them to you or reintroduce them to you or show them your love, the love of your church, your bride, Lord. We thank you that you are perfecting us, you're making us into what you want us to, what you've called us to be, God. And we thank you that that is family that you've called us to be and a table at which you've called us to dine. Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to extend the invitation. To not look as man looks. To not look at the outward appearance. But to see them as potential table mates, Lord. Father, I thank you that you've been with us, that you've blessed us. You've moved in our midst, God. Spoken into our hearts. We ask that you would bless us as we leave. Protect us, lead us, guide us, God. Heal us from all wounds. Enable us to speak your name in all situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.